to, if you will, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew chapter number, Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter number 21 today. I am honored to be here, and I'm not saying that because I don't have anything else to say. I am honored to be here. And I don't, I've probably missed 5 or 6 Sunday mornings. I've been pastoring this Easter be 15 years. And I've probably missed 5 or 6 Sunday mornings, and most of those I was in Albania. Anytime I miss, other than that, probably haven't been but 5 or 6. And I'm honored that I could be here today. I mean that with all of my heart. I wouldn't do this for just anybody. And I mean that. And I don't take it lightly that the Holy Ghost orchestrated this today. And a lot of times you go preach and you just go and preach. And this morning, I've got 7 or 8 things I could preach today, preacher. And this morning I was walking down by the pond and the Holy Ghost let me know why I was here. And I've heard from heaven this morning, and I want you to listen to me. I'm not trying to be extravagant. If you know me, I'm not trying to be a big shot. But I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost told me why I'm here today. And He wants to speak to us. And He wants to change somebody's life today. And there ain't no doubt about it. And I'm honored to be here. Thank you, preacher, for your hospitality and your grace. And again, you may not need reminding, but I'll remind you anyway. You ought to take about 12 laps around this building. Praise God that you have a pastor that has a heart for you and for your family. He's not a charlatan. He's not a hireling. He's not in it for himself. We talked, every time I talk, his heart is always for his flock and for the people that God's given him. Every time I talk to him, he talks about y'all. And that's real rare. And I'm honored to call you a friend, preacher. Matthew 21 and verse 1. The Hendersons, I walked out. What a surprise. What a joy to be with y'all today. You can always tell when it gets on at our church. I always sing that song. I would sing it if I could sing. For Timothy, Paul had a message. Preach Jesus and Him crucified. I can't do it like y'all do it, but I think about y'all every time I sing it. And oh my goodness, that's what I saw the day I met Him. He was lifted up high. Boy, that song talks about me, preacher. That's exactly how I was lost and undone and don't know nothing. Just a little poor redneck from Abbeville. Should have been in hell a long time ago. God all walked off from me and threw me in hell backward. But He saved me by His grace. I don't know a whole lot, but I know how to get home, bless His good name. I know the way home, amen. I bless the Lord. But you're glad you know how to get home. Amen. You may not be impressive to this world. They may not be lined up asking you how the election's going to turn out or how America's going to turn out. But I know this. I know how eternity's going to turn out. There's a God sitting on the throne and the Son of God at the right hand of God. And I'm going to be there and you're going to be there. That's how it's going to end up. We're going home, amen. The next hand you shake can be the hand of the Son of God. Hallelujah to God. Well, bless the Lord. Yeah, didn't come to say all that, but I'm glad I came. That song, I'm telling you that song. May not know much by this world's standards, but I know enough to get home. Amen. Bless His good name. The mind of man is greater than ever. He rests in the knowledge he's gained. But somewhere in time, he'll find it's for nothing. All his work is in vain. Without the cross, there is no happy ending. No hope to travel on. But there's a trail of blood as straight and narrow. It's the road that'll lead us home. Hallelujah. Where were we? Matthew 21 and 1. That may be one of the best things the Lord ever let me do, sing y'all song to you. You ever heard anybody preach one of your sermons, Brother Ken? Don't make you jealous, does it? Hallelujah to God. Y'all leave me alone. I'm glad to be here. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, by the way, if you go do something for the Lord Jesus, some man will say something to you. If any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he'll send them. Can you imagine going to the car dealership and jumping in a brand new Power Stroke and driving off and the manager running out and saying, what are you doing? The Lord hath need of him. I'm going to give it a shot and see how it works. That sounds crazy, but that's exactly what just happened right there in that verse. The Lord hath need of him. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. Our Father, this morning I want you to help me. God, I want to be a vessel of honor, meet for the Master's use. I want the Holy Ghost to have His own way today. Nothing for us at all, just Your will. God, help Your people. We'll thank You. I pray for my church. I pray for Brother Chad while he's preaching right now. God, would You anoint him and help him? God, use them and bless them. We love You in Jesus' name now. Amen. 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 You have a seat. Thank you for your patience and standing. The subject of this text, I believe to be service. If I could take one word and describe what's going on in these 11 verses, I believe that one word would be service. We see two disciples going and serving the Lord. We see these donkeys being brought back and they're going to be servants of the Lord. And so I think if we had to name one thing about this text that we could all agree on, it would be teaching us on the subject of service. I want to say something to everybody here. How many of you are saved and you know you're saved and I couldn't talk it out of you? I could preach on hell for 9 hours and it wouldn't bother you a bit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're in real good. Well, everybody who's saved has some kind of a desire deep down in their soul somewhere to serve God. You may not know how to do it, you may not know where to do it, and you may not know exactly where to put your hand at, but there is a desire in every child of God to serve God and to be used of God. I need somebody to say amen right there. Yeah, I knew something was different when I didn't want to go to the beer joint and I wanted to stand in the parking lot and park cars at the house of God. I didn't care what I was doing. I was just so glad I was sober and getting to be at church. I was fired up that God would let me do anything for His glory and for His will. He called me to preach it, blew me away. I argued with the Lord 6 months. He started dealing with me about preaching. I said, "You got the wrong one. I don't know nothing about preaching. I don't know nothing about none of this, but I want to bless His name." When He saved me, He put a desire down in my soul like a well of living water that flows up out of my soul. I want to serve Him and I want to do something for God. Anybody know something about wanting to do something for God? You ought to want to serve Him. Amen. Y'all say amen. We'll go eat quick. I smelled some barbecue down the road. Amen. Everybody here ought to want to serve God. Hey, here's my title. Yeah. You can learn a lot from a donkey. You can learn a lot from a donkey. Now, if we was in Abbeville, I could say it different, but we're in Bowden, and you can learn a lot from a donkey. Service. I'm not going to preach long. I'm going to hone in on what the Lord's got us here for. And let's spend our time seeking that one thing. Every Christian here can be useful to the Lord Jesus if you'll examine these steps in this donkey's life. There's 3 steps that he went through to be useful for the glory of God. Now, I want to say this to you. I just want to obey the Lord today. Everybody that is busy doing church stuff is not necessarily being useful to the Lord Jesus. I don't want you being busy with church stuff. God wants you useful for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people doing a lot of things and they're not very useful. In other words, at the judgment seat of Christ, it ain't going to... I want everybody in here to leave today and leave useful for the glory of God. Amen. 3 steps this donkey went through. Number 1, it had to be redeemed by mercy. This donkey had to be redeemed by mercy. You say, "It don't make any sense." Well, if you look back in your Bible and you ain't got to turn there, I'll read it for you. In the book of Exodus, the Bible tells us about these donkeys. "And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of many among the children shalt thou redeem." The very fact that this colt was tied up to a pole and still living was a testimony that somebody had shown it mercy somewhere along the way. When this colt was born, the law said in Exodus that this colt should have had his neck broken before the Lord and cast away. He said, "But if you want to keep that colt and you want to keep that donkey, then you're going to have to go find a lamb somewhere and bring that lamb and slay that lamb in the place of the donkey." And God was basically asking, why would anybody want a donkey over a lamb? And the donkey was used for service and the lamb was used for slaying. But God said, if anybody wants to serve me and if anybody wants to be used, first of all, you'll have to be redeemed. You've got to be bought by the lamb. You've got to be redeemed by the blood. And it was an act of mercy. A lamb had to die just for that donkey to get to live. He was redeemed by mercy. You say, what in the world's that got to do with anything? Well, let me let you in on a little something. You and I, when we was born wicked. You didn't get wicked when you was 14 years old. You didn't get wicked when you was 21. You didn't get wicked when you was 12. You didn't grow into wickedness and you didn't evolve into bad works. We were born altogether unclean. Everybody in this room was born lost without God. You say, well, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe it for it to be true. We was born in sin. We was born in iniquity. We're children of sin by birth, by choice, and by nature. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hardest thing you'll ever do is get the church member to realize that they're a sinner and lost without God. Everybody's good. Everybody looks fine. Everybody looks holy. But at the end of the day, there's a time when you've got to realize I'm lost without God. I'm supposed to be in hell. I'm supposed to have my neck broke and cast off into the deep. But behold, I am. The Lamb of God came and died for my sin. And I'm saved by the Lamb. God came by and slayed a lamb in my place. That donkey was redeemed by mercy. Somebody had to look at that useless animal and have mercy on it. I don't know about you, I didn't deserve no mercy. I deserved to have my neck broke. I deserved to be departed from God. And the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Preacher, I grew up in a little Methodist church. And my daddy taught in Sunday school. And my mama would serve in the kitchen. And we'd go most of the time. And my daddy would come home. And I'm not trying to dishonor my family. But my daddy would come home. And he'd go in his little drawer from Sunday morning. Just had taught Sunday school. Just had left church. Pull his little bag of weed out. Get high. Come home every night. Get drunk. And pack up and go to church on Sunday morning. And serve God. I thought, growing up, I thought, well, as long as you go to church, everything will be okay. Because we all did stand up and repeat the Lord's Prayer together today. And the man that had the robe on with his backward collar, he said, bless y'all. And I said, I'm okay, I'm in church, I'm a church member, everything's all right. I had no idea that I was going to hell. I had no clue that hell was my home. No idea. And I got to working with a boy that knew the Lord. I was 22 years old. I can't even tell you what I went through from 10 to 22. It don't even deserve to be mentioned in the house of God. But it's wicked and ungodly. I got to working around somebody that knew God and knew that he knew God. I got under conviction. Old time Holy Ghost. Didn't want to go to sleep. Didn't want to get out of the bed. I was scared. Every time I'd light a cigarette, I'd think about hell. Every time I hear somebody die, I'd think about hell. I'm talking about God swung me out over hell for about 6 months. Scared the devil out of me. I know what to do. And I'm just moving along. I'm going somewhere. But thank God that God didn't leave me under conviction. Thank God he didn't show me I was lost and throw me away. Thank God he didn't break my neck and kick me off into the pit. He brought me to the house of God. I walked in. I was used to praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Preach it.
Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. And I'd sleep, and my mama would pinch me. Let them sleep. Let them youngins rest. The Holy Ghost get on them in a real church. Just bring them. Bothering me. Man took me to church, Brother Ken. I was scared I was going to hell. We loaded up on a Thursday night. Drove down an hour and 20. Who drives an hour and 20 minutes to go to church? We live in the South. I drove 3 miles and I passed four. They're everywhere. Why would he take me that far away to go to church? Because I've done been to church and church ain't fixed my problem. We went, drove down to North Augusta. I walked in. It was a church. The sanctuary would seat about 900. I had a Ford uniform on. Had my name right here, just in case I forgot who I was. Had Ford on the other side. Had grease under my fingernails. Had a case of beer out in the truck because it was Thursday. They went to church on Thursday, and I cashed my check at the beer store and put a case of beer in the cooler. That's just what I did. Had a pack of Winston's in the truck. Can of Red Man in my pocket. Walked in. They shook my head like I was one of them. I walked in and I was dirty. They had pews about this color. And I was dirty. They didn't care I was sitting in them. They didn't care I looked rough. They didn't care I stunk. They just shook my head and said, "We're glad you're here." I believe they knew what's about to happen to me. They was kind. They was nice. Blew me away. Blew me away. Walked in. I sat down. That choir started singing. "Can't you see the bright lights? See the lights?" I can't sing, but I would. They got to singing, "I've never been this homesick before." That choir, they throw their hands up in the air. That preacher jumped up on the banister and started walking the top of the banister. He jumped off the banister, stood on the piano, and throwed his hands up. Got to preaching and shouting, sweat running down his face. I said, "Good God, he's having a problem. What's wrong with him?" What was wrong with that man? I ain't never in my life seen nothing like it. Ever. I left on Thursday night. We got in the car. Jim said, "What'd you think?" How many of you remember being under conviction and the Holy Ghost bringing you to Calvary? You didn't get saved, but then somebody asked you, "What'd you think?" I said, "I'm going to need a few days to let you know. I don't know what I think." He never said a word to me. Next Thursday, after lunch, I'm getting somewhere. Next Thursday after lunch, I walked by. I said, "Jim..." I was the ringleader. I ain't gonna get into all of it. I was the ringleader. Caused divorces, caused jail, caused suffering. I was the ringleader. And I walked by and I said, "Jim," I didn't want nobody to see me talking to him. You driving back down there tonight?" He said, "I can. Do you want to go?" "Oh, I don't want to go. I was just wondering, you know, if that's something you did all the time or..." He said, "Yeah, I'm going." He said, "I brought my clothes in the car." I said, "I ain't got no clothes." He said, "Don't worry about it. I won't change mine." Washed her hands. Jumped in the truck, drove back down there. And I thought maybe it was just something special on Thursday nights, you know. Walked back in. The choir got to singing. Does anybody know Melvin Minotaur? Melvin Minotaur was an old preacher, and he used to preach at the migrant camps down in South Augusta to the Mexicans. His little short man, he was about 119 when I got there, when I met him. And he walked on a cane. He had a car wreck years ago, and his wife had died in the car wreck, and he walked on a cane. Well, that second service, I came in there, and they got to singing. That choir got to singing. Preacher did the same thing. Sweating, hollering, shouting, running. Brother Melvin got that cane, and he'd go running around that church. And he'd say, "Glory to God, he's alive! He'd swing that cane around like a helicopter coming by your head. He came by me, whoop, whoop." I ducked down, and the old man's running around the church like a Comanche Indian on fire. I didn't know what was wrong with him, but when he ran by me, the Holy Ghost said, "This is real! This is real! It's real!" We went home. Jim said, "What'd you think?" I said, "I'm going to need a few days." I'd been under conviction for 6 months, Brother Ken. I went five or six times on Thursday night. And the only reason I remember the date, if you don't know what date you got saved, that don't mean you're lost. The only reason I remember the date is because it's Halloween night and I was supposed to go to a party. And I didn't. Went to church on Thursday, 1996, October 31st. You can go back on your phone now and look it up. 1996 was October 31st was a Thursday night. I went to church and I sat there, preacher. They got to singing, they got to shouting, he got to preaching. I wish I had a testimony like some people. I don't. I was sitting about on the fourth or the fifth pew, and he gave the invitation, honest to goodness. You're looking at one old boy who knows he's saved. All right? Don't ever wonder if I'm sure I'm saved. But this is how it happened. My feet started moving. I said, I guess I'll go where they're going. Oh, heart just melted. Heart just melted. Well, I wish I had 9 hours to preach. What I didn't tell you is them 6 weeks where I was going down there trying, I'd lay in my backyard and try to talk to God. Didn't know how to pray. I said, God, I'll quit drinking. And I didn't. I said, God, I'll quit running around. And I didn't. I said, God, I'm going to act better. And I got worse. Ended up going to jail. All kinds of just crazy stuff. Trying to do right. Trying to live right. And I'd lay in my backyard and pray, God, I want to do better. I want to act right. I couldn't act right. I couldn't get straightened out. I couldn't think right. I couldn't be right. And the Holy Ghost brought me to the house of God where somebody's preaching the gospel. My feet got to move and I got halfway down the aisle and my heart just melted and I bowed down beside a speaker. Didn't nobody say nothing to me. Didn't nobody open the Bible. Brother Ken, I knelt down. I said, Jesus. And I didn't even get Jesus all the way. I said, Jesus, save me. And when I said, Jesus, and get it out of my mouth. Good. He said, I did. Amen. He had mercy on me. Yes, sir. If anybody in this room should be in hell, you're looking at him. Let me let y'all in on a little something. Y'all might, just to make sure y'all don't think I'm a good Christian. If anybody in the room ought to be there now after he's saved. But when that donkey should have had his neck broke, I'm glad somebody looked over with mercy and said, behold a lamb. The lamb's been slain. The blood's been applied. Mercy has been given and you're free. He had to be redeemed by mercy. Now I want you to see this donkey received mercy.
Right.
Here's where I want to go today. I'm going to preach point number one. He received mercy. But if you'll look in the book of Mark, I believe it's chapter 11, the Bible said that it was a donkey whereupon never a man sat.
Never sat.
Whereupon never a man sat. They bring the donkey to Jesus. Nobody taught him nothing. Nobody sent him through riding class. Nobody's whooped him. Nobody's instructed him. They brought him to Jesus. Jesus sits on the donkey and rides like a Cadillac into Jerusalem. This donkey received mercy, but you're not going to jump on an unbroken donkey and ride nowhere. Why did he do that? Because I want to tell you something. This donkey reciprocated mercy.
Amen. Yes,
it did. That's why the Lord sent me here this morning. He reciprocated me. How many of you saved and you know you've received mercy?
Yes.
You know what God wants somebody in here to do this morning? reciprocate mercy. Remember a story in the Bible, Brother Ken? There was a man, his name was Shimei, of the house of Saul. He was mad at David because David had received the kingdom, and he called David a bloody man and a wicked man, and David's walking down the road, and the Bible said that he started throwing rocks at David and cursed him and kicked dust at him. Now, I'm from Abbeville, and you gotta be within slapping distance to kick dust on somebody. This man's kicking dust on the king, throwing rocks at him and cussing him. And Abishai looks over and he says, "Let me take off his head." You know what the king said? "Let him cuss. I got bigger problems than that." Let him cuss. He said, "My own son's trying to kill me." He said, "My own son run me off and is trying to take the kingdom." He said, "I got bigger problems than this guy over here cussing me." The Bible again, it's brought up again. They said, "Should not he die?" And David said, "He will not die. Quit bringing this up. I'm not going to kill the boy." Twice they tried to get him to kill him. David said, "I'm not killing him. Leave him alone." Read another story, John chapter number 8. The Bible said that Jesus was at the temple and they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery in the very act. And they threw her down in front of Jesus and they said, "The law said such an one should be stoned. What sayest thou?" And he knelt down and he began to write in the dirt. Oh, I wish I had time to preach. He wrote in the dirt. And he looked up, he said, "Ye that are without sin, let him first cast a stone at her." And he knelt down, he wrote in the sand, and the Bible said that they started from the elders to the least and walked away. He said, "Woman, where are those thine accusers?" "No man, Lord, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Listen to me. Jesus would have been right to kill her. David could have rightfully killed this boy and had God smile on it. Jesus could have stoned this woman and God would have smiled on it according to the law. I'll tell you, somebody else who received mercy that. We shout about that woman receiving mercy. Guess what? Them Pharisees, he could have killed them too. Because you know that one of them was one of the perpetrators. And whatever he said grieved their heart. They'd broken the law. Ezekiel said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die." Jesus could have rightly killed the whole crowd. He didn't just have mercy on the poor little woman that got took advantage of.
Exactly right.
He had mercy on the scoundrel who was so full of pride and arrogance that he tried to twist Jesus up in his words. He had mercy on them too. I'm getting somewhere. Just because you can execute judgment on somebody who's mistreated you, don't mean you necessarily should. I'm going to tell you about another story, and I will pray in a minute. The Bible says in, I think it's Matthew, I got it wrote down up there, said there came a time when a king started checking on his accounts. Said he called unto him his servants, and they brought one in that owed him about $1 million. The king said, "I want you to sell him, sell everything he's got, sell his family, and give me my money." And the Bible said that the man knelt down and worshiped him and said, "Master, have mercy on me. I'll do my best to pay thee what I owe thee." And the Bible said that the master had mercy on him
and forgave the debt. He said, you'll never have what you owe me. Best thing, you can just get up and leave and I'll act like it never happened. He walks away and he runs into Fred. Fred owed him $20. The Bible said he laid hands on Fred and put his hands on his throat and said, pay me that thou owest me. Do you know what Fred did? He fell down at his feet. He said, I ain't got it. He said, if you'll be patient with me, I'll be sure to get it to you. He said, I'll not hear of it. He called the guards. He called the police. He said, this man has stolen from me. Lock him up. And they had him locked up. Well, funny thing about God. God knows everything that happens in your life. He knows every time you've been wronged. He knows every time you've been wrong. We started out and I asked you, how many of you in here have received mercy? Don't forget, we're talking about service now. The king heard about it. He said, go call him back in here. And they brought him back in. He said, did not I forgive thee all? And here a man owes you $20 and you threw him into prison. And the Bible said that the king, oh, this is all I came to say today. The king turned him over to the tormentors. Y'all know what that is? Somebody who would not pay their bills. There were people that worked for the state that would follow you everywhere you went and say, he's a thief! He's a thief! Don't let him borrow any money. He'll rip you off. Don't do business with this guy. You go to the grocery store. They say, his check's no good. Don't take his money. He'll rip you off. You better watch him. He's probably stealing grapes and eating them walking down the aisle. They delivered him to the tormentors is what that means. Everywhere he went, everything he did, there was somebody accusing him from the time he got up to the time he went to bed until the day he died. Do you want to know why a lot of us cannot serve God with a pure heart and can't get anything done for the Lord Jesus? It's because we're living our life given over to the tormentors. And when you get up in the morning, now look at me, Satan's going to accuse us all and we understand that, but I'm talking about on a different level. When you get up in the morning, you live your life with your past before you. You never can get over it. You never can get past it. You feel like you're being accused all the day long and for your whole life, and you can't get out from under the torment of accusation. God sent me to tell you why this morning. Because somebody in here has got to go find somebody to have mercy on. Because you were given an opportunity to have mercy and you chose judgment. Now, it's up to you. You can choose judgment. But James said, mercy rejoiceth against judgment. You have the right to choose judgment, but when you choose judgment, you choose it for yourself as well. Somebody did you wrong. You're still mad about it. Somebody broke your heart. You're still mad about it. Somebody drug you through the mud. You ain't got over it yet. You said you got over it, but you still got them in prison in your heart. And this morning, God's given you one more chance to extend mercy. John Phillips put it this way. He said, you can have a fair trial if you want to, or you can extend a free pardon if you want to. Choice is yours. And when we say, I just want it fair, what we just said was, I don't appreciate the mercy that's been shown to me. Deliver me to the tormentors. Is anybody in here tormented this morning? Is your heart and your spirit and your mind tormented? Here's what I'd do if I was you this morning. I'd find somewhere to pile up in this altar and say, God, if you'll let me get to them, I'll forgive them. If you'll let me make this right. Now, they did you wrong and they deserve whatever judgment you gave. But this morning, God's trying to set you free, not them. I was preaching in Albany, Georgia, Brother Ken, in a tent meeting years ago. Preached on forgiveness. I noticed a little teenage girl piled up in the altar over here. And she cried and she wept and she cried and she wept. And 5 minutes later, a gentleman and his wife stood up on the other side of the tent and walked over there. And when they did, that whole side of the church began to weep. Turned around in their chairs, started weeping and praying. I didn't know anything was going on. After church, the pastor told me, he said, that little girl got pregnant 4 months ago and her mom and daddy kicked her out. Because they were so ashamed and so embarrassed that they thought everybody would judge them because of her mistake. So they kicked her out just to prove a point in the community. It's their right. Could have. And they went over there that night and they laid in the sawdust with that little old girl. And that man grabbed his daughter and the wife and they stood up over there and they said, I'll tell you one thing. She ain't done nothing that we ain't never done. He said, I ain't justifying it. He said, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. He said, but that's my girl. He said, if y'all want to church her, church me. He said, I love my baby girl and I'm going to stand with her no matter what anybody does. We're all supposed to die with our neck broke. And do you know why God, I'm trying to quit, preacher, but do you know why God will let somebody do you wrong? Because God wants to promote you. And He just wants to see if you're going to be the kind that extends mercy. God will let somebody run through your soul and destroy your mind for one reason, because God's ready to promote you and move you on into higher service. But He can't do it if you're the kind that's always going to be taking out revenge when you don't get your way. Y'all stand with me. Holy Ghost, this morning I ask You in the precious name of Jesus to remind us of the mercy that You've extended in our life.